Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out when you can. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Our good friend Governor Jim Gilmore is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's back with us again. Governor Gilmore is the former governor of Virginia. He's now a partner in the law firm, the Washington, D.C. law firm of Kelly Dry and Warren. He's served this country in many capacities of leadership, including the military. He's also was the chairman of the organization or the committee called the Congressional Advisory Panel to assess domestic response capabilities for terrorism involving weapons of mass destruction. And thank goodness they shortened that name to the Gilmore Commission. Governor, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim, very much. It's always been a pleasure to talk to your listeners and a pleasure to do things on behalf of the people of the United States when the Congress and other people have called on me to do it.
Well, you've certainly done that, and for that, we, as America's governor, we thank you for that. Governor, the Gilmore Commission is not in business anymore, is it?
No, it was a three-year commission that started in 1999. We went for 3 years until the 9/11 attack, and then at that time it was extended by statute for two more years, but then that term ended at the beginning of 2004.
All right. A lot of people are predicted that we would be attacked again before the 2004 election. Turns out that didn't happen. Can you give us any reasons why that was it? Because we took their attention off of the United States, the continental United States, and put it elsewhere, or was it because we just thwarted a bunch of attacks, or what happened?
Well, let me start by saying that we're still learning as we go in this war on terror and this challenge that's going to face us for so many years in advance. So there may be yet theories that we don't understand, but I think that the simple theories are that the president has pushed the war overseas. He's disrupted many of the financial and methodologies of the enemy overseas. They, at this point, are on the run. And I think it makes it very difficult for them to mount a sophisticated program the way that they have. Also, the 9/11 attack was carefully thought through, carefully planned, and relied upon secrecy. After all, it was a surprise attack.
Mm-hmm.
And now we, at this point, are watching these issues, and we're taking strong measures in order to prevent it again. And I think this just makes life very, very tough for the enemy. Doesn't mean they can't get in here and do something, but it makes it harder for them. And I think that's the result of what we're seeing.
Well, how much do you think I was in a dinner party with Congressman Christopher Shays, whom you know, Congressman recently reelected from Connecticut, and I have believed that the Patriot Act, the much maligned Patriot Act, has contributed significantly. It seems to me some of the reforms that it brought about, especially with regard to pulling down the wall between law enforcement and intelligence. I believe that was an important thing. And Congressman Shays at that party said that he was totally devoted to the Patriot Act. What are your thoughts?
Certainly. Again, Chris Shays is a very devoted legislator. I'm more conservative than Chris Shays is, but he's a very devoted legislator and a very sincere man. In terms of the Patriot Act, he's devoted to the Patriot Act. I certainly think that there are important elements of the Patriot Act which are making us safer, and you have to weigh and balance all of that. I just think we should be very careful about certain elements of the Patriot Act to make sure that as time goes on, it doesn't affect the civil freedoms of the people of the United States. But that being said, a large part of the Patriot Act is the supervision of international finance, so that people can't move money back and forth across overseas without being noticed, so that terrorists can't get their hands on millions and millions of American dollars and vice versa in order to carry out attacks on this country.
Well, Governor, you have experience in counterterrorism. You spent a number of years in the Army in that field. And would you say that if we had had the Patriot Act, or the provision of the Patriot Act that removed the wall, the statutory wall between the CIA and the FBI, for example, that we might have been able to have thwarted the attack of 9/11?
Well, Jim, the Patriot Act enables good management. It enables people. It gives people tools in order to run intelligence and law enforcement in a correct way in order to thwart terrorism. But in the end, there's no substitute for doing things the right way. Up until the attack on September the 11th, 2001, I think people weren't properly focused on what the threat to this country was and what it might, in fact, result in. So as a result of that, the FBI was doing its thing, the CIA was doing its thing, and neither one of them were doing anything with state mm-hmm. and local officials. And that now has changed as a result of the recognition of the shock of 2001. But the Patriot Act only is a tool, nothing more. You still have to have the will and the desire to manage correctly to make sure that information is properly exchanged. And we did discuss that in our commission for several years before 2001.
Mm-hmm. What do you think was the most important finding, the most important product of your commission, of the Gilmore Commission?
Jim, let me just say this as succinctly as I can. Our commission believes that there is an absolute need for a national strategy, one that encompasses federal, state, and local people, and for that matter also private enterprise, and gets them involved in homeland security as well. You have to have the understanding that we have to have an overall strategy which gives us some sense of what we're supposed to be doing and not supposed to be doing. And in that way, government officials and people in states and localities can know what to do, not just running around like chickens with their heads cut off. So there has to be some overall national strategy that folds in everyone. Intelligence needed to be reformed, and I think that we're making great progress towards that. But the principal point is that there has to be some national sense of direction and strategy on how to deal with all this.
Well, this is a very important topic for small business owners, Governor, because as you know, small business owners were hurt not just in the markets where the attacks happened, but all over the country. We're so connected these days in the marketplace, long distance, to people all over the country and all over the world, that any time a disruption like that happens in the marketplace, it hurts small business owners. And so I want to keep them informed as much as I can on our show about these things, and you're helping us to do that. And again, I thank you for your service to our country in these areas. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, one of the things I want to ask you if you've been following the congressional activity of the last week where Congress, it seems, is not going to give Mr. Bush exactly what he wants. And I thought maybe you might give us some thoughts on that. And we'll do that right after these messages. 20 after, Governor Jim Gilmore is our guest. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Governor Jim Gilmore, former governor of the great state of Virginia. Actually, I guess it's the Commonwealth of Virginia, isn't it?
The Commonwealth of Virginia. That's correct.
That's right. And now a partner with the law firm of Kelly Dry and Warren in Washington, D.C. Also the president of USASecure.org. USA Secure is a Homeland Security trade group, isn't it?
That's correct. We give an opportunity and a vehicle for companies to come in and begin to work in Homeland Security and to get to know each other and the federal government.
All right. And don't forget to check that website out, folks, especially if you are a small business that would like to do some business with a Homeland Security infrastructure, usasecure.org. Governor, you just told me you just got back from Afghanistan. In a little bit, I want you to tell us about that trip. But first, something happened in Congress at the end of the last week that I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about with regard to the intelligence legislation.
Well, it's very complicated. The The 9/11 Commission, when they came out, they only really had one substantive real recommendation, and that was that there be a national intelligence director, someone who would be over top of the, of all the other intelligence organizations and give them direction. But of course, as we have learned from the, our experience with Department of Homeland Security, that person is going, if they're going to take that kind of role, they're going to have real power. And that means power over budgets and power over the entire intelligence community. Mm-hmm. Well, Department of Defense doesn't like that. About 90% of all intelligence money and assets are really located in the Department of Defense. So this is an effort to remove some of that authority from the Rumsfeld Secretariat and put it into a National Intelligence Director. The President actually supports that. But the Congress so far has refused to pass such a law. Now, I must say that I have misgivings about a National Intelligence Director myself. I would have preferred to have seen an empowerment along those same lines in one agency, that being the CIA. But the President
Making the FBI under the CIA?
No, but making the director of the Central Intelligence Agency have a real control, authority, and direction over the entire intelligence community, including all the other agencies. But instead, they want to remove it all together from all agencies and put it into one person at the top of the White House. My concern about that is fear that he might be undercut by people below him unless he has real power. And so far that has not occurred. So this is a very very debatable issue.
So reasonable people can disagree about this, can't they?
Well, yes, but I think the one thing that most people do agree on is that there has to be some more power in one person somewhere. And I think the President does not have a high enough comfort level right now with the CIA to invest it there. So he's trying to get it someplace else. But right now, it's too diverse and too scattered around in terms of authority, power, money, and assets, and I think that that's what the President's concern is.
Well, and do you think we'll get such a bill sometime in the near future?
No, I'm not sure that we will, actually.
Oh, okay. You don't think this was just a short-term abort? You think it might not happen, huh?
No, I think there's a lot of pressures back and forth in the Congress from all these different organizations, especially the Defense Department, which has a great deal of influence in the Congress.
So we might actually not get a terrorism czar, an intelligence czar, then?
That's right, in which case I continue to believe that the Director of Central Intelligence was always intended to play that role, and I think he still should. I like the idea of someone in charge also controlling an agency.
Do you think that with Porter Goss over there now, that might make the President take that medicine a little bit more, a little easier?
Well, they haven't invested the director of CIA with that authority yet, number one. And number two, it's clear from all the news articles that there's a great deal of turmoil right now in the CIA, and that's all got to straighten out. So we've got a long way to go here, I think.
Are we in the Democrats during the elections campaign said we're not safer than we were 4 years ago. My mother would say the proof's in the pudding. We seem to be. What do you think?
Well, we certainly haven't seen any attacks on this country, and I think that the enemy is having a hard time exercising any capability to actually get in here and attack us. But we do have to be vigilant. I know you mentioned to me that Chris Shays is concerned about a weapon of mass destruction attack, and while it's less likely, we have to guard against it, because if there were a biological attack, for example, I don't think that we've yet got ourselves prepared to deal with that kind of hazard here in the United States.
Governor Gilmore, you just got back from Afghanistan. In the minute we have left, tell us what you experienced over there.
I went over with the strategic commander of Europe. We visited the troops. We looked at Kabul. We had a chance to fly over the Hindu Kush and up into the northern area. It is very primitive, Jim, I must tell you. And I think that country has a long way to go. It's going to be very unmanageable and very difficult. And we still, I think much of the major fighting may still be ahead of us in Afghanistan.
Really? In Afghanistan?
Yes.
Wow. And why do you think?
Well, because it is so very big and so very vast, and we're nation building literally from the ground up, Jim.
And you don't really pass through there, do you, going anywhere else?
No, it's pretty remote.
There's not a lot of industry there. I mean, it's hard to raise people's level of standard of living because there's not much for them to do really over there, is there?
That's right, and it's still pretty dangerous over there. In all honesty, we've seen kidnappings just in recent weeks. We've seen explosions in recent weeks. We've got a long way to go, I think, in Afghanistan, but you know, the reason we're there is because it had become a center of training and assets for a worldwide terrorist enemy, and we can't permit that to happen again.
Governor Gilmore, thank you for being here. The USASecure.org is your trade group's website, and thank you for being here. We look forward to seeing you another day, and have a great holiday.
Yeah, I'd like to hear from some of your listeners sometime. Yeah.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you. See you next time. Mm-hmm. Quick break, right back with Mr. Jim Basker. We're going to talk about Alexander Hamilton. You're going to enjoy this, folks. I promise you. 29 after. Stay with us. Oh, but it sure feels nice.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.